Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Eleanor, who is here to speak with us about her participation in the 15th annual Bridgewalk season. Welcome, Eleanor.
Oh, thank you, Jen.
Thanks for being with us. I'm excited and happy.
Yeah, thank you for asking me.
Yeah, it's so fun. I was just thinking as we were getting ready for the show, it's just so fun that there's so many people all over, well, I always say all over the country, but it's really all over the world who participate, you know, and many of them will get to join us on Saturday and most of them won't. So it's so fun to hear what people are up to, even if they can't be physically with us.
Right, and it's an exciting time of year for me every year. And I think about all over the world, not because just the Sangha, but because of the folks in Cantalomba.
Exactly.
Seem to be, I think it's an inspiring time to practice. If practice can be more inspiring than other times, it just really does that for me.
Me too. You know, and as you say that, it touches me how I got an email from Teresa this morning saying, you know, with an update of what's going on, and she said every day is more exciting than the next, getting ready for the bridge walk on Saturday. And it's so dear because, of course, there is no bridge. But it's bridge walk season, right? So we all celebrate the bridge walk.
Yeah, and you know, for me, from the way I celebrate, there's really no bridge either. And it doesn't matter. It's still a fun time. I found Saturday I had on my 5th annual Bridge Walk t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to think back how many years I've been celebrating, because every year is a little different, but it's so special between the, of course, all the practice opportunities that come out, you know, from the monastery. It works for me. I get excited every year. Every year I do a different, you know, different kind, maybe levels of fundraising, but always a lot of practice around it.
And isn't that so fun that really happens, that the project can be that inspiration to support us in our practice?
Exactly. And, you know, a little thing happened for me a couple of months back was, it wasn't my major focus, but I had a closet I was working on. And dropped in, I was getting things out, getting rid of things, and it was like, hey, I could let every piece that comes out of here be part a donation for the African project. And it just became a joy because I could pick up something and go, oh, yeah, this could be one more donation. And it just dropped in, you know, for that one day. That was a little extra fun.
Yeah. For me. Essentially, it's practicing shifting the attention, right? It's a tangible way of shifting the attention.
Exactly. And then the other thing is the opportunity to participate by, like, writing in has been really a good way that, for me, a helpful way to, if the voices try to tell me that I'm not participating, then I know that I look for a way to participate. And there have been a lot of opportunities lately for that.
Really, so true. And I love that. That's another perfect technique for shifting the attention. So the voice says, well, you know, you're not really participating. What's supposed to happen is all the energy drains out, and yeah, that's true. I'm not really participating. And in fact, now I really can't participate because I have no energy and I'm depressed. But instead,
exactly.
You take that prompt and say, oh, that's a great point. I think I'll write in.
It works. It's just such an easy way to switch that energy around. And seeing the bamboozles, of course, has just been so much fun to practice with, to keep something that the attention's looking for. For me, I think the collusion really just worked, because I could look around and say, what story am I believing now? And that was so easy. It was always, you know, an answer would come up. And so that's the one I ended up writing in about, because it was so exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you want to say a little bit more about what you were seeing with that?
Well, yeah. It was like I would look around and, you know, what story am I believing? And it would be, you should have more, always have more time, or you're not doing this right, or you should be, mm-hmm. something's wrong. So mm-hmm. I think my coach suggested I write them down instead of just recording. So I'd have them on a piece of paper and see them. Mm-hmm. And then when I got ready to put them into my teacup, I would tear them off, and each one I would read, like, you know, there's something wrong with blah, blah, and I'd write on the back, there is absolutely nothing wrong. And so each one had a flip side.
Uh-huh.
And as I pulled them out, I recorded just what is really true part. So I had this whole recording of the, I guess, the counter that lines to the bamboozles. And that was just such a great surprise. It was just,
exactly.
It's like, wow.
It.
Yeah. So that was my favorite one so far.
Yeah. Yeah. It is so fun, isn't it? Because you're right. There's always a story, especially if we clue into the cues of suffering, you know, dissatisfaction, not enough, self-hate. I mean, there's a million of them. And then to stop and go, okay, wait, what am I believing? What's the story here?
Yeah.
And it sounds like that was so available to you. And then that's genius, writing them down to go in your teacup, and then realizing on the other side, there's absolutely nothing wrong. And then recording what's actually so, all of those things on the flip side of the, wow.
Yeah.
It's like
that's
what life puts in the teacup when we empty out all the other stuff.
Yeah, that one was just available for me. It's mm-hmm. an easy one. I was thinking about it tonight. I had a really busy evening at work, and it was like, no, let's see, collusion. What story am I believing now? And it worked again. So.
Yeah.
Usually, this is supposed to be different. That life should be different than it is right now. That should
exactly
be different.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Boy, and you know, Eleanor, as you say that, I'm just. You know, thinking to what the folks in Cantalumba model for us, and that joy of being with what is and not having that constant, feeling of it should be different. But instead, just the joy of getting in there and participating in the way that we do here on this side of the Atlantic, you know, the way we participate with the project, and then the way the folks in Cantalumba just, you know, show up every day, roll up their sleeves, and cook and do a lot of dishes.
Wow, that is just that's a great. I like that, to think about that we're all doing the same practice.
Mm-hmm.
Over there, over here.
And so the other thing I just wanted to underline was, you said you were wearing your fifth annual Bridgewalk T-shirt. And just that, again, that fun of participating, and that even if folks can't be with us, that they can register for the walk. It's the deadline for the T-shirt for this year has passed, but it's actually still possible to register. And that, you know.
And that also, that's another, to me, just even the registration, that amount of donation brings one into being a part of the whole thing and realizing that we are all part of this practice together and this beautiful community in Cantalumba, and just that opportunity. I like to go ahead and sign up for the Bridgewalk as soon as it comes out, you know, of course, but then I do get a T-shirt, but, you know, it's and being a far-flung sangha, it's like I get this extra surprise if it comes a little bit after the Bridgewalk. It's like, maybe a few days, as soon as I've kind of forgotten it, I get a package from the monastery, and that's really fun. It's like, oh, yay! What's an extra surprise, because I haven't seen the whole, you know, the real T-shirt at that point, and so it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always a moment for all of us, seeing it in person and then putting it on. It's so fun. Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember if we were talking about this on the radio show or somewhere else, but someone was talking about it. I think it was when Ashwini was on The Good News, where we were talking about how it's almost become a uniform, a practice that, you know, people will wear their chitenge pants. We used to, you know, make pantalombas, mm-hmm. so they'd wear their pants that were made in cantalomba, and then, you know, one of the Bridgewalk t-shirts. And when you come on retreat, you just, that's what you see sitting in the meditation hall is people in their pantalombas and their Bridgewalk t-shirt from whatever year it is. So it's really quite fun.
Exactly. I was just looking as the weather cools off over here, looking out saying, wow, I have some nice long sleeve t-shirts here.
Exactly.
I can actually wear them. Yeah,
yeah,
I love wearing them on retreats. It's really fun.
Yeah. Well, Eleanor, thank you so much for your participation and for being willing to be with us this afternoon to talk about it.
Well, thank you for asking me. I'm happy to talk about this. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah.
It's really good to do our little part, whatever that is. You know, it just feels good to be part of it.
It does, and we all are. Yeah, very well stated.
Yeah.
All right, Eleanor. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye bye.
Good night. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Eleanor. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's an exciting time. It's always an exciting time, I think, but this is a particularly exciting time because as the specifics of that, as Jen and Eleanor were just talking about, the 15th Annual Bridge Walk is coming up in a matter of days.
Yes.
And that coincides with our first rains of the season. Yeah?
Yes.
I just actually wrote a little note to people that we're going to send out, warning people that, you know, please don't not show up. Please don't listen to the voices that will, you know, say, oh, no, goodness gracious, it's just going to be awful. I don't want to go. It's going to be cold and wet and all of that sort of thing. But, you know, we do want to dress appropriately. And so we were laughing because we've been just scrambling around, finding extra tents because we have all these it's an outdoor event, right? It's an outdoor party.
Yes.
It's sort of like planning your wedding for the middle of June because, you know, the weather is going to be great and then there's a hurricane or something. And so we're renting all these extra tents and this sort of thing, and we're going to encourage everybody, bring your rain gear and your umbrellas and all that, and we hope with all of these efforts to bring in sunny skies.
Yes.
That's our hope.
Yes.
You know? So, yeah. So I'm making that plea for everybody who's planning to be here. Please continue with your commitment, but do be prepared for California's version of winter, which, of course, if you're from the East Coast, is laughable, right? But for us, it's a really big deal. It's going to rain, right? So we forget how to drive, and we don't have any clothes and, you know, all of those kinds of things. So, and it's funny because following that, a whole group of folks are going to leave from the Bridge Walk and come up to the monastery for precepts renewal, and it's supposed to rain the entire weekend. So it's fun. It's exciting. It's memorable.
It's exciting. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It really is. So while I have you, we have a revised edition of our cookbook coming out. Because if people who have been around for a while know, the food at the monastery has really changed over the years since that original cookbook came out. And so I was just reading it, and there's a story. There are stories from various people who have been the cook at the monastery over the years. And there's this, the last story in the book really tells the story of us getting started and what it was like back in the day. I thought, you know, that's what this kind of thing always is. You know, the bridge walks where the weather was beautiful and, you know, it's kind of, they all run together. But the bridge walk where we're standing there looking over the bridge and there is so much fog that we cannot see the boats right down below us. We can hear them, so we know, but it's just we're completely socked in. Those are memorable. You know, those are fun. Yeah. Those are fun to recall. So
yeah.
I'm hoping people have that spirit about the whole thing.
Yes, and I remember you saying once before that really memorable is what we're going for in our life.
Yes, memorable. Who wants an entire life that just all runs together because I never did anything unusual and I was never uncomfortable and it was never extraordinary or it was never we survived it or there was never any of that. It was just a bunch of days that all ran together. We don't want that.
Yes. Great.
Yeah.
Great.
It's going to be fun.
And I do. Yeah. And I remember a few years back when rain was scheduled before and it didn't ever happen. So
I know. I remember it. And so we can only hope not to give away everything in my little email, although it hasn't been edited. So goodness knows what I said and what will actually happen. But, you know, one of the things that I know and other people know is that there are certain Native American ceremonies where the people in the ceremonies draw in at a certain time. They evoke or manifest or however you want to talk about it, but they ask an eagle to come in and they ask rain clouds to come in. And it happens. It happens for them in every one of these ceremonies. So these kinds of things happen. I think we can possibly have the same sort of support for our celebration, for our bridge walk. And the precepts, too, if, you know, there's extra of that kind of energy around. And then the rain will just get pushed back into that next week and then just rain and rain and rain and rain and rain forever.
Mm-hmm. Great.
My hope.
Great.
That's what I'm going for, Michael. I know you're in.
I'm in. Count me in.
All right. Bring your umbrella.
Yeah, just in case. Just in case. Great. Shall I jump into the announcements?
Please.
Okay. As we have just heard, this upcoming Saturday, October 15th, join Sangha in San Francisco for the 15th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk to benefit the Africa Vulnerable Children Project. And
yes.
Even though... Go ahead.
Oh. Well, I just want to say, and be on time. Be there by noon. Because we've got a lot going on, and if you're late, you're going to miss some of the really fun stuff. So I just want to put – go ahead. Sorry, Michael.
Okay, perfect. Be on time is what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the deadline to receive the T-shirt has passed, and as Jen and Eleanor were talking about, you can still register to attend the event in person or donate your registration to support the project.
Mm-hmm.
And until then, accept the empty teacup challenge and catch conditioning in the act of bamboozling. You can record how many bamboozles you're spotting on the teacup challenge page at the Living Compassion website.
Have you turned yours in, Michael?
Several times.
Have you? Oh, you are so good. I always save everything up till the last minute. So I'm excited to add mine. Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Great. Mm-hmm. And virtual meditation groups have changed. The redesigned format feels more like sitting with Sangha at the monastery. Mm. Also, we're changing call-in numbers and adding a new group time. Virtual meditation groups are a unique way to enjoy the support and connection of meditating with Sangha. For new call-in numbers and a complete schedule of virtual groups, please visit the Virtual Meditation Groups webpage.
Mm-hmm. Such a nice thing to do for oneself.
Yes.
So supportive.
Yes. And if you are too busy and don't have enough time, please join Sherry for an enjoyable and interactive workshop debunking the extremely popular and age-old myth of too busy, not enough time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this workshop will be held Saturday, October 22nd at the beautiful Namaste Retreat Center in Felton, California. That's in the San Francisco Bay Area. And all proceeds and donations will benefit the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Yes, and I guess we should say that it's actually quite near Santa Cruz, shouldn't we? Because the Bay Area is so large, and it's actually just right next door to Santa Cruz. So in case people need a visual on that.
Yes, perfect. And you, Sherry, will guide participants through a fun and profound email class on communication beginning October 25th. This class is an opportunity to discover your style of communication and become aware how the ego orientation muddles connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And for the
very excited about this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, me too. Me too. And for these and other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press star 6 and then 1 to make a show. And a focus on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes is great.
Be good for us, huh?
Good for everybody. Good all around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we're ready, Sherry.
Well, I think so.
Okay,
thank you, Michael.
Okay. You're welcome. Here we go.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Rochelle in Charlotte.
Well, hello there. I think we're going to see you in just a few days.
You're going to see me in a few days. Yes, yes. I'm excited about it.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Just wanted to update. I did do my my run, my 100 miles. Actually, it was about 105 miles that I completed. So I'm excited that I was able to do that. And I wanted to share one of conditioning's tricks they got me during this process.
Oh, please.
Yeah. So I was doing well in the groove, you know, every morning get up and run and everything, and I had my kind of routine going. And then in the middle of September, I got sick. I had an asthma attack and had to stop running and wheezing and all the steroids and all the, that type of stuff. And so I kind of got off of my groove. And conditioning started in saying, you know, you may as well just give up. You know, you're not going to be able to do 100 miles. You're sick. You know, you can't run. You know, it's just it's not going to happen. And
just hopeless.
Oh yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And and so for a few days, and actually I only missed you know, really about 3 days or so of not running type of thing. But as soon as it kind of turned around. And stuff, I started back again. But I stopped following my total of how many miles because conditioning had convinced me that I would not make it, that I would not finish 100 miles, that, and I just stopped looking at the totals. And finally I said, okay, I've got to update my friends and family and that type of thing about where I am in the run. And I totaled it out, and I run 99 miles. So, you know, like, oh, my gosh, how can that be true? And I actually have a Fitbit, so I'm like, okay, I'm not relying on memory, and I'm totaling up what is telling me that I did, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's 99 miles. And so would you believe that I've run 99 miles and conditioning fought me tooth and nail to do that last mile? And all these excuses and stuff, you would think I was just starting out because it was fighting me, and I bought into it for a couple of days. I didn't have a good reason for not running, but I didn't run. And it was like, well, it's going to rain, or, you know, you've got this to do at work, or, oh, you were tired, you're up late. And I didn't let that bother me for the 99 miles, but that one last mile, it's almost like it was just like, I've got to stop her from doing that 100th mile, because once she knows she can do that, then she can do other stuff. And it was just unbelievable. And there was one morning I was listening to all this. I'm like, oh, goodness, if you're going to do all this, I'm going to get up and run. And I ran the 100th mile. And I've done more since then. But it was almost like I believe that, you know, you run a mile a day and get 99 miles in, and conditioning is still battling you at that last mile. It was just kind of eerie. I'm like,
it is, isn't it? It is. It's creepy, eerie, and really illuminating.
Exactly.
Right? That people really believe, in the face of all evidence to the contrary, that voice, those voices, are there to help them, protect them, do something good for them, take care of them. And you get into a situation like that, and you can see that all it's trying to do is get you to fail so it can beat you up.
Exactly. Exactly.
Makes no sense. Makes no sense whatsoever.
And it doesn't even make sense. It will never stop. It doesn't care whether you've done 99 miles. It's going to fight you on that 100th mile like it's the first mile.
Yeah.
And so, and what also shocked me is that I believed it for a few days. I believed the story that I wasn't going to make it because I'd been sick. I believed the story that, I can't do. And I had to snap out. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, when you started
what
this.
What are we talking about here?
Yeah, when we started this, we weren't sure we could. But you ran 99 miles of the commitment. Are you going to really, truly let it talk you out of running that one last mile? You know, really?
Wow.
So it was pretty powerful. I was like, okay, I've got to run. And so I had to share that with you because it was just, it also, to me, you got to be persistent with practice. If you let up just a little bit, I mean, conditioning really comes in there and gets you. No matter how far you've come or how grounded in practice you are, you know, you've got to practice because otherwise it will rob you of all the successes and tell you all kinds of stories if you're not aware, if it lulls you into being asleep.
Well, and what a blessing with what you're saying. What a blessing that there's also that what sometimes called the still small voice of wisdom, love, and compassion that says, really? Look at what you've done here. is this really the choice you want to make? How about you just go out there and run that extra mile?
Yeah.
Because that impulse is in there too. And if we're trained to pay attention, if we've trained ourselves to be here, then we hear that voice and we feel supported and encouraged by it, and we have the strength to get up there and do that next mile.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing. Well, and that's all I really wanted to share. I don't want to, I'll be there this weekend and everything, but I plan on being there. I feel good, and I look forward to it. It's my first time at the Bridge Walk, and so I'm very excited. I could care less. It could rain buckets. I'm going to be there.
Well, you North Carolinians, you know, you're used to rain. So, that's one of the things I'm always fascinated about when I'm there. It's like the weather is doing whatever, and people are just going about their lives. And it's like, no. It's raining. You understand? understand. You have to, you know, you have to have a completely different orientation to life because it's raining. And they go, oh, yeah, well, it doesn't even faze them. So,
yeah,
good. We won't worry about you. You'll probably just run across the bridge, and that'll be that. All right. Thank you so much. See you
soon. You're welcome.
You're
welcome. Y'all take care.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rochelle. Yeah, I love that story, Sherry. That was great. You get to 99 miles, and then conditioning says you can't do the last one. And to wake up from
it's,
that is
it, you know,
awesome.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's just crazy, and yet we see it in action. And of course, every one of us knows, if we're honest, how many times we didn't run that 100 mile, right? But we really did get talked out of doing it completely and then be beaten up over it years later. As if Rochelle, as if we would be bad people for having been bamboozled. And I guess you could say, well, maybe that's our inspiration for not allowing ourselves to be bamboozled. But that's all that's going on, is that we're falling for that con job. It's not that we're bad people. It's that we've been deeply brainwashed to believe that that voice in our head is on our side, and it's the right person, and we're the wrong person, right? So that voice would have run that extra mile.
Yes, that voice would
know
that.
No, she was just lacking the willingness.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Good to see you.
And we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Sherry in San Francisco.
Well, hello, Sherry. How are you?
I'm doing great. I didn't know it was going to rain this weekend, but I love it.
Well, see?
Yeah.
You better get out there and buy some rain gear, right?
Actually, when you were talking about it, I was thinking, oh, I wish I had some, like a slicker, you know, like a yellow slicker. Maybe I'll have to go.
And yellow boots.
Yes, exactly. Like, wouldn't that be really fun? Because we never get rain. I actually was thinking it's kind of a blessing on us, isn't it? Like, that if it does rain, you know, like, we need it. It's like a gift.
We desperately need it. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and if I know any group that can have fun despite any kind of weather at all, it's this one. So
we're going to look forward to it.
Speaking of fun,
what's going on?
I've been actually trying to call in for a long time and haven't gotten on. But each time, it's funny. I've just wanted to say, the name, The Big Bamboozle, on this book, and the funny little eyes and the colorful dot on the eye, it makes me so happy every single time I look at it.
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean.
And, you know, and just the fact that they're called bamboozles, I feel like there's something so important. You know, of course, there's tons of important stuff in this book. But even if someone didn't even read it, I feel like it conveys this sense of joy for practice.
Yes, good. Good, because as you know, that is one of our ambitions, that we write books that even if you don't have time to read them, the title will give you something. You can just go buy them pass them in the bookstore, and you see the title, and you get a little something from it. So that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, and I just, you know, it's one of the things that, to me, I feel like has been so important. First of all, that we're, you know, we're doing it all together every week, and with our, you know, those of us who are lucky enough to have a sitting group that we go to, you know, doing the, you know, the big bamboozles each week there. But that it's so playful, and that it makes it so inviting to look at these things in new ways.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That And that, and what you're saying is so important, because with what we were just looking at with Rochelle, you know, that is an intense system, right? That is a system that would happily kill a person if they would go along
yeah.
with it, right? Would talk us out of ever exercising, talk us into eating bad stuff, you know, all of the things that we know. It would kill us if we actually listened to it. So it's not like it's some kind of an innocent, benign little something or other. It's a dangerous force in the universe, right? And yet, I just read two amazing quotes on this subject, that the one thing that system cannot abide is being made fun of.
Oh.
It just can't. When we
yeah.
laugh at it, it has its power through our taking it seriously. And when
yep.
we laugh at it, it just can't cope.
I love it. And you know what? I had this great tiny little story that today, our sitting group's on Monday, so today I was reading the next, I'm on permanent assignment week 3, which has something to do with, you know, urgency and, you know, not enough time. And so I was reading and recording the assignment and thinking, oh, you know, I don't know. Am I really feeling that sense of not enough time? And then literally, I swear, like not even like a half an hour later, I looked on my list of things and it said to sign up for the Namaste retreat, you know, that day in next week. Actually, yeah, it's next
mm-hmm.
week. And no kidding. What the first thing flashes through my mind, I think I'm too busy. Like, really, like, it was so funny, right? Like, I couldn't help but just be, like, first of all, the fact that I just read this bamboozle, second of all, that whole day, what's it called? Too busy, not enough time.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, like, I've got one, Sherry. I've got one that you will really appreciate, okay?
Okay.
So Jenny and Paul, who host this event, every year they put this on, and donate their place, right, and their beautiful place, so that we can have this workshop and give all the money to the Africa Vulnerable Children Project. Usually, we try to do it before the Bridge Walk, but I messed up, and I had to reschedule it because I double booked. And so they emailed me and asked if somebody could send them a picture because they were going to do a flyer. And and I didn't see it, right? Because I didn't get the email. And I'm apologizing to them. And I caught myself writing, "It is such a crazy busy time." And I said, "Huh? Well, that I'll tell you, that workshop is well titled for all of us, right? Including the facilitator." Because, and I'm such a coward, I actually didn't write that to them. I rephrased it in a way that I will tell them. So, yeah, I hear you. It is sneaky.
It is. And circling back to what you said, though, at, you know, the beginning of our conversation, what I loved is that all I could do was just laugh. Like, because to me, the whole thing was, it's ludicrous. And
yes.
It's not me. It's conditioning, right? I really got to see, like, how silly are you? You know, you're going to try and pull that on me just, you know, wait at least a day.
That's right. Your timing is really off. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I everything you're saying, and it's so important. And the reason I've been wanting to say it is I just, to say it out loud to myself, too, like, how important that aspect of play that we bring is
yes.
to all of this
yes.
practice, because
yes.
you're right. Like, I've also heard you say over the years, you know, we can't be identified when we're laughing.
Right. Yes. Yes. And the only thing that takes itself seriously in this entire world is ego. Right? So if we can laugh at ego, we are establishing a great deal of freedom for ourselves.
Yes, and so that's what, just to end on that note, like, I just feel this deep gratitude to our entire Sangha because, you know, everyone, you know, not always, but, you know, when we can, each of us is able to bring that, you know, that sense of play and laughter, and it means everything.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because very often people will say that the first time they've really laughed and felt lighthearted, and it really shocks them. But the first time that they've actually genuinely felt that way, not because of a particular joke or that sort of thing, but just from their heart, is in practice. It's when we're on retreat and we're all laughing uproariously, and people who are new to practice think, well, now this can't be right, right? Because spiritual practice, this is serious business, and it is serious business. It absolutely is, which is why we approach it so joyfully.
Oh, love that. There's a great peace quote right there. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I'll
see you either in our slickers or whatever, you know, whether it's sunny or rainy. Yep. Look forward to the weekend.
Whatever we can find to put on. Thank you, Sherry.
All right, Deepka Show. Bye-bye.
And to you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sherry. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And, Sherry, we are going to take a break and hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have more callers here.
Good.
Okay, let me find the next one. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Carolyn calling from Seattle.
Well, hello, Carolyn. How are you doing?
Fantastic. I'm so excited. I can't believe it. I'm going to have to pull over. I am driving, of all things.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yes.
Hey, listen, I'm coming down there on, I'm so excited to be coming down there for the bridge walk, my first time. And,
good.
So, being a Seattle person, I'm here to tell you that, you know, rain is our friend, and we don't need to be fearful of rain. And I'm going to bring all my rain experience to the walk. So excited to participate in this new way. I don't really have anything special to say. I've just been coached by my wonderful awareness coach to listen to the show and get in the queue and see what happens. And so I just want to put my voice out there to all the people that will be in attendance and all the people that will be there in their hearts. I'm just thrilled to be able to participate in person this way. So thank you so much for everything.
Great. Well, I'm glad you're doing it. And I'm very glad for those that kind of encouragement that not all of us will be need to, let's see, now I want to start that sentence over again. We don't actually have to be concerned that everybody there is as concerned about the weather as those of us putting on the event. That you people, you're equal to your life experience. You're grown-ups. You can handle it. You'll be all right.
Absolutely.
Is that true? Okay, good. That is
absolutely
very encouraging
true
for us. Yeah,
well, and
good.
That's why I'm so grateful to interface in these kinds of ways, because you are a truth teller, and I so deeply appreciate the constant encouragement to focus on what is and not the conversation and not the story, and you said it. So thank you.
That's
so
what
much
we're going to do, isn't it? All right.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much. See you in a few days.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Carolyn. That was a great shot in the arm there, Sherry.
Yeah, wasn't that good? Feel yeah more relaxed already.
Yes. It'll be a growth moment for us Californians this weekend in the rain.
We'll just be able to watch how people just, you know, just go about their lives in water. It's just,
yes,
it's going to be exciting. Yeah.
Yes. Very good. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. It's Sylvia. I'm in Connecticut.
Well, hello. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I've been trying to call for the last week, and I got in today. I'm very excited about it.
Yes. Well, tell us what's going on.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but I called a few months ago, I think it was at the end of last spring, and you told me to follow up with you, so I did. The reason I called months ago is because I was doing recording and listening, and, well, basically then I was doing recording, but I was not listening. And then you encouraged me to do the listening because the resistance was in the listening. So I was doing the listening. I started doing the listening, and then I became kind of addicted to it. Yeah.
Which, at this juncture, I would point out that that's the reason conditioned mind was so in resistance. Right? Because you were going to love it. It always resists the things that are good for us, the things that we're going to love. That's what it's always saying no to. Starting back with Rochelle at the very beginning, what is it resisting? It's resisting her keeping her commitment and getting that hundredth mile, right? Because that's going to change everything about her life. So it's just digging in, saying no. So in the same way, no listening, and you find out, well, I'm addicted to it. I love it. Yeah.
Well, and perfect. One thing that I realize is that I just crack up. I laugh a lot when I hear myself, like, catching the bamboozles, and I record every time I catch a bamboozle or something, and I listen to myself, and I just laugh. I don't know. It's very amusing.
Well, let me ask you this. Is what you're discovering that you're actually a delightful companion?
Yeah, kind of.
Yes.
Obviously, it's not like that all the time, but kind of. Well, and I really laugh hard.
Yeah. You have a good time. You really have a good time. You have a good time in this very intimate relationship with yourself.
Yeah.
You find out who you really are. You get to experience yourself in a way that we're heavily conditioned not to experience ourselves. We're not supposed to even guess at something like this about ourselves, let alone have a direct experience. And as much as we love other people in our lives, we don't let them experience us this way either.
I see.
To be, right? To be so open, so vulnerable, so just completely, innocently, sweetly in the present who you are.
Yeah, people think, oh, this person is out of control. And then it's like, oh, boy. And then judgment starts there, right? Thinking, oh, that's out of control. That's not right. If somebody would be like that, right? Without filter, kind of.
Yes. Yes. And yet what you discover is innocence, authenticity, sweetness, goodness.
Yeah.
True?
So... yeah, yeah, and I wanted to thank you for encouraging me to do that, and now there's, I record way more than I used to, but again, like everyone else in the show, it's a busy time of the year. Everyone is very busy right now, and urgency, and must do now, it's hard, keep with the commitment right now.
That's right. Which is, if I may, now, you'll understand the spirit in which I offer this. Not from any personal experience, obviously, okay? But imagine that you are having an affair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's romantic. And it's exciting, right? Because it's all unknown. And so you are sneaking a quick little conversation, maybe a text message. Maybe you write out a little note and you leave it, right? You do a little voicemail. Can you picture it?
Yes, even those little things in the busyness. Okay.
Yes, and so in the midst of everything that's going on in your life, you're finding those little, just a few minutes here and a few minutes there, and a few minutes there to be in touch with this heartfelt connection, this excitement, this presence. Because that's what happens to us, right, in a new romance. We're very alive, right?
Yes.
Yes, and so
okay. Yes,
I know you got it. That's what you're doing because what you're experiencing is like a romance with yourself, with your own heart. And so to find those little places to connect, to say I love you, to express how much you care and what you appreciate and what you notice about and what you're excited about conditioning would have us believe that if you're going to record something, it needs to be meaningful.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Because all it needs to be is connection. Sometimes there's an insight or you have an awareness about something and you want to record that. But mostly what you want to do is just be in that connection, that non-separate experience of your authentic nature.
Yeah, just sometimes by deciding to do the recording, like, okay, it's like you get into that mindset that you are already in that place, even when you just push the button and you are already
there.
That's
right. Yeah. Yes, yes. And and it can be as simple as, yes, please, thank you, I love you. Or, you know, I am so lucky that of all the human beings I could have gotten to go through this life with, I got you. Exactly, okay. The kind of thing that we want to hear. We've always wanted to hear those things. We've always wanted to be in a situation where we could say those things. And now we have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start a love affair.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Enjoy it.
Okay. And I'm not going to be able to be there on the walk, but I'm going to be there with my spirit.
for the weekend.
Good.
I just wanted to let you know.
Thank you so much. All right. Thank you so much. We'll feel your energy.
Okay, wonderful. Have a good night.
Thank you. You too. Take good care.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Catch you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sylvia. Great to have all of that good energy on the air here, Sharon.
Oh, yeah. 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 Maybe you can help me remember, Michael, that we'll stop on the day and just take that in. You know that all those people around the world who are with us, even though we can't see them, and they're with us. The energy is there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great idea. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Michael. It's Jeff in North Carolina.
Well, hello, Jeff. How are you doing?
That's a great question. I would say kind of mixed at the moment. Yeah, it's great that you have this thing, which, you know, about not enough time and all that sort of thing coming up, because that's certainly something that I've been watching a lot in my life. You know, it's interesting as I look at it there, I'm wanting to devote more time to health, both in terms of exercising, walking, and getting more sleep. And I'm wanting to devote more time to a certain part of practice. The orientation I've had, and I'm kind of check this out with you, is trying to catch up at work, my main job, and then with some of the health concerns, and kind of get those to a good place, and then be able to turn my attention more to the practice opportunity. But you know, I'm aware of that. You know that I'm doing lots of practice as well, but I'm not finding the time to do this particular aspect of practice that I'd really like to put more time into. So that's just kind of the thinking that I've been operating under, and I just wanted to kind of start with that and see if that brings up anything for you as you hear that.
Well, Jeff, what just dropped in as you were saying that is that sort of the metaphysical or spiritual or whatever principle behind this is that whatever we attend to expands, period, okay? And we often think of that in terms of, okay, then what do I want to, you know, what do I want to focus on? Because what do I want to have expand? And so I focus on something. So there's a, you know, there's a particular whatever it is that I want to do. And so I would say, well, I have a focus on that because that's something that I want to do. But what's really going on is that I'm focusing on what I'm not being able to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do see that actually. Because I am doing a lot of things that I want to do, there is a little conversation, if I were to put it in words, that really is telling me that I'm failing for not being able to do it all, you know, participate in the way I'd like to in each area of life that I'd want to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so what actually gets expanded under that, with that happening, and there's nothing conscious about it. It's not certainly anything we want to be doing. It's, in fact, a very unconscious, conditioned process that we've all been brought into. right? Because that's how that system maintains itself. And so it seems like the kind of the right good person thing to do is to be aware of what we're not giving as much time and attention to as we would like, and that that's going to lead us to giving more time and attention to whatever that is. But quite the opposite happens, right? Because what we're expanding is not enough time for that. So if I, you know, I want to get more sleep, and I start looking at it, and what I'm actually unconsciously attending to is how much sleep I'm not getting. So, you know, oh, I didn't get quite enough last night, and well, I'm not going to get quite enough tonight. So what I'm expanding is not quite enough, rather than this leading me to getting more sleep. So if I want to get more sleep, then I want to focus on getting more sleep, which doesn't mean I need to actually physically get more sleep. It means I need to attend to the amount of sleep that I'm getting and to be focused on that and grateful for that, appreciative of that, acknowledging that, and then that's what's going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So the more, right, so the better I get at really appreciating and enjoying the amount of sleep that I'm getting, I'm going to find it easier to get and enjoy more sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, and so what I hear you suggesting is kind of turn this all upside down with all of it. So focus on how healthy I am in many ways. Focus on, gosh, you know, I'm getting a lot of sleep, and it's certainly way better than it used to be. And focus on how much practice I'm doing. All of these things I was actually remembering a caller from a long time ago on Open Air saying what I focused on appreciates, and that's kind of what you're saying too. To focus on, you know, what I attend to will grow, as you're saying.
That's right. And so when you do your end of the day review, which almost everybody does, but again, they're not bringing conscious, appreciative awareness to it. So when you do your end of the day review, all you focus on is everything that you got done, everything that you attended to, all the good things that happened. The focus. So with each one of these things, if all you got to today was an awareness of how much you appreciate the fact that this is something that you want to attend to in your life, you know, you want to get caught up at work. Bad people don't want to get caught up at work. They don't worry about getting caught up at work, right? A lot of bad people don't even work. You know, I'm saying that tongue in cheek, but you know
right.
what I mean.
Right.
Want to get caught up at work is a really good person thing to do. So to focus on all that you accomplish at work and the effort that you're making, right? So it's not it takes it away from what you accomplished and turns it to your focus, your desire, your wish, your intention, and that is to get caught up at work. And that's what's going to grow.
Uh-huh.
And that will actually result in results. Result in results. Jeff, that's a Zen statement.
Another peace quote.
Yes, another peace quote. Yeah.
Well, let me see if I understand that last part that you've been talking about. So, so what I hear in this is focus on the as well as, you know, focus on what is getting done and that sort of thing, but to focus on the intention and the effort.
Yes.
and the kind of the authenticity, the sincerity of the human who cares about all those things and wants to.
Yes.
You know, has these intentions. And
yes, exactly so.
Yeah,
because really, Jeff, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, this is the reason that it works, okay? And it does work. And there's an actual once you see it working, you can see that what I'm saying about why it works is what's behind it working, okay? Mm-hmm. And that is that in our lives, in the world, forget our lives, but just in life, there are times when things go really quickly and there are times when things go really slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way it is. Right? It's true with everything, and it's true with our lives. And so just a minute ago, we heard, you know, this is a really busy time. And there are times in people's lives that tend to be busier as a culture, okay? Back to school tends to be a really busy time. The holidays tend to be really busy time. You know, that kind of thing. But within that, there are days, say, where you are really, you've got a big bunch of stuff that you're getting through. And there are days where that actually isn't true. And if we are attending to our process instead of getting bamboozled into focusing on the content, because the content is by and large a conversation that happens in conditioned mind. So if a person is in a I'm too busy mode, then they're going to be listening to that conversation and believing it whether they're busy or not. They might not be busy at all if they stop to look at what is really required of me today. Well, not that much. But the conversation remains, I'm too busy. So staying involved in that conversation, I don't get a chance to actually experience life as it is. But if I'm focused on process, so my intention is to show up, to do the best job I can, to get done whatever needs to be done. There's a quote that that I wish I could remember really well, but it's along the lines of that we do what we are called to do each day rather than focus on the giant things in life that we are not called to do.
Yes, that came through recently. Yeah. Yeah, I can't quote it either.
Okay.
But yeah,
oh, did it?
I know the one you
oh,
mean.
Okay. So you know the one I mean. Yeah. And that's what most of us are doing most of the time when we're caught up in conditioning. There's this grandiose whatever it is that's going on that makes me the most important thing in the universe, and I'm just so busy and so overwhelmed and so all of that sort of thing. And if we focus on the things that we are actually called to do each day by life, not by a story and conditioned mind, we find that some days are you're going really fast, and other days are pretty relaxed.
Yeah. So again, I want to see if I've got the point that you've been making. So so what you're pointing to is to notice that not enough time is a conversation, and
yes.
If the attention is caught up in that conversation about not enough time, then the experience of not enough time is what I will have, and that is what will grow.
That's exactly right. And aside from that, Jeff, along with that, that's what you're going to be focused on rather than doing the things that you actually could be doing to, say, get caught up at work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And part of what you're saying too is that the conversation about the content is that conversation, generally speaking.
Yes.
But if I'm focusing on here's my intention, and to keep the attention on the intention, and This is the process that I'm participating in. It's a life process of life takes care of things. I'm showing up with giving it whatever I've got and being really kind to the human as I participate.
That's exactly
and
right.
If the attention is on that, then that's what's going to grow.
That's exactly right. Yes. Yeah. And it is the ultimate spiritual experience, because what you just laid out, what you just said is, not my will, but thy will be done.
Mm.
I'm not going to be the center of the universe. I've got this mind, this body, these two hands, these feet. Here, I'm in service. What is there for me to do?
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I keep referring back to Rochelle, right, because that was just such a great example. With that attitude of not my will, but thy will be done, I'm going to be out there running. Mm-hmm. But if I'm in a conversation with conditioned mind, then I'm not going to be, for all of these reasons that are actually simply distracting me from the very straightforward task that I could be doing if I weren't in that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's interesting, because it, you know, what the mind is saying right now and is that, well, but I'm, you know, I'm doing all this. I'm not getting, you know, I'm doing as much as I can. I'm, you know, putting all this time in, but I think, you know, what I would get from what you're saying is that even if I'm physically there spending my time doing, that doesn't mean that the attention isn't being taken off much of that time into that conversation. It has to be, because otherwise I wouldn't be talking about it so much.
That's right. And that's exactly right.
Yeah. And it's that attention that, you know, could be available to life.
That's right. So I had a business partner years ago who talked about what we're talking about as, I have a project I need to do, and I'm going to do it as soon as I sharpen all the pencils.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it just as soon as I organize my desk.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. That is so much of what conditioned mind is doing, rather than actually being present to doing what it says we should be doing, but it's keeping us from doing.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, very good.
All right. Very good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Good night, Jeff.
Sherry, you know what I loved about that conversation?
What's that? What's that?
You would share a concept, and then Jeff would reflect it back to you in his words.
Yes.
And then you would share a new concept, and he would take that in and then reflect that back in his own words. I just love that.
That's right.
Process of learning.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's wonderful for both of us, right? Because oftentimes I have no idea if people know what I'm talking about. And oftentimes it turns out people don't know what I'm talking about. So with that back and forth process, we both get clear. Yes, this is where we are. Yes, yes, this is where we both are. What's the next step we can take? Yeah. So
and
thank you for reflecting that, Michael. It's really important. Yeah, yep, yep.
Yes, yes. Wonderful.
Very important.
Thank you so much, Sherry. That was fabulous.
Thank you. See you soon.
See you on Saturday with my rain jacket.
That's right. We'll be there. All right. Good night.
Good night.